out of so right. Are you feeling
and it? It's so loud, and it's so right. Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Go home, go sleep, wake up, get sober.
What a great night.
And it's so loud, and it's so right.
Till we're all drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
Thank you very much.
Well,
well
played,
he actually well pulled played. It off quite well.
I can do sincerity.
Yes. I did a really good joke at the falafel night to two friends of mine, Mike and Steve. And we were talking about all men with beards, and I looked them dead in the eye and said, "Oh, you know the problem about men kissing men is," and they all kind of gave me a funny look because they know that's, you know, I don't actually care about men kissing men at all. And I said, "Well, it's a little known scientific fact that some men's beards, the hair of your beard, is hooked, and some men's beards are whorls, and if they link together, you can actually get a Velcro-like effect, and it's really painful to pull your face back." And I just kept my face totally deadpan. And finally, Mike went, "Really?" And you're like, "No, you idiot. I'm just making shit up." And like,
was he the dude I met who was moving out of a house because some other dude in the house had done a poo in his on his electrical equipment?
Yes, that's him.
Yeah, I thought he was gay, like for a minute or so, and then he started talking about his girlfriend. So because he was there with that other guy, and you know, they
not
were
gay.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah, that was Steve and Mike. Yeah.
Well, I thought they lived together,
but not together.
I'm a broad minded guy.
Sure.
And so I didn't want to give the impression that I thought ill of them for living that way together.
That's right. Didn't he date like a sexy drummer from a Brisbane band?
No,
like
he dated the ugly
or
one
something
from the
like
greats.
That.
Alana, the drummer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's in a band that makes her hot.
Yeah, she is in a band.
True.
Probably, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, to be truthful, hotter than anybody we dated.
Oh.
She's in a band.
I don't know,
she's
actually
a drummer in a band.
I'm not sure.
I hooked up with a dancer once, a hip hop dancer. That's pretty good, isn't it?
No.
Probably doesn't have the same street cred.
Australian hip hop dancer.
Yeah. Don't say it like that.
So, I just got back from the beach.
Yeah, how was that?
That was. It's pretty good, actually. Got some exercise. And I was doing this 7-minute workout. I don't know whether you boys follow like the fitness press or anything, but the 7-minute workout, it's like it's the shit at the moment. Everyone's doing a 7-minute workout, and it's awesome. Except it takes 58 minutes to do it properly.
That doesn't sound like a 7-minute workout.
Well, it's a whole bunch of 7-minute workouts put one after the other with some cardio. And
that is bloody that is false advertising. That is.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm fit, but just because I've been doing a lot more than 7 minutes working out a day at the beach. So that was cool. But before I left, of course, nice. I turned over my precious to Mr. Beeston.
The Grand Theft Auto disc.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Once I sponged off all of the stains, I was able to pop it in my machine. It wouldn't read it. I think that Rockstar have jammed all the ones and zeros so close together that my old decrepit Xbox is struggling to keep up.
Are you on a an actual Xbox? You're not on a 360?
No, it's a three. What? Yes, it's a 360.
Okay.
I couldn't use it. It would work eventually, but it would only work every six times. You just go, "Nah, this disc is no good. Give it a sponge bath," and then I'd eject it and then put it back in and be like, "Yep, it's all good."
Wow, that's a bit strange, because I gave it an absolute flogging before I went away, and hence the stains and the possible inability of your Xbox to read the disc. But it didn't give me any technical problems. And you haven't played it at all, have you, Greg? Because you are sitting there holding out for the PC version.
I am. Yeah, I don't actually own anything to complain the damn thing yet. So
you are
no
fucking
GTA
hardcore.
5 for
I offered
me
you
at
my
all.
Spare PS3 to play this game, and you said no. I shall wait for the PC version.
I'd like to say to make it, you know, because I'm like, you know, a PC hardcore, you know, do the whole devil fingers thing. That I wish it was. It was more that I've had so little experience. I think the only game I've actually played for any length of time on an Xbox was Red Dead Redemption. That's it. So I kind of went, I don't want to get the PS3 and not be able to use it. I just had this horrible feeling. I'd go, where's the button that makes the middle man go?
Just shaking the controller.
I just couldn't turn around backwards. I will stay with my...
Where do you hit the hoop with the stick?
So, yeah, I didn't. I will get it, and when I do play it, because they will. It takes 6 months normally for GTA, or versions of GTA, to come out on PC, and that's because they don't have to worry about the crappy graphics that your Michelin boxes have, and they just crank everything up to 10. Basically, you get dazzled by brilliance.
So, you're not concerned about this petition that's been getting around calling on Rockstar not to release a PC version because of all the pirates?
Say what now? Well, yes, but bum. that would suck merrily. They're right, though. They make a lot of the money out of the consoles. They don't make as much out of the PC. So, yeah, that would suck.
Well, so we can make Saints Row 4. A token effort at including you in this conversation before Dan and I get totally, into it. How did you find Red Dead on a console?
Sure.
Did you play it?
I actually... It took me a while to get used to it because I said I just don't use them a lot. But I love that game. Red Dead Redemption is probably one of my top computer games ever. I think it's a brilliant game, a brilliant cowboy piece, a brilliant turn of the century piece. The changing into the modern world. It was fun to play. It was silly in some parts and serious in others. It was a wonderful game. I played it 3 weeks straight over a holiday period
up,
and just adored
playing it on
it.
On a console since you are a PC loser.
Girl Clumsy won the competition and it just sat in the box because she didn't care.
This is why Girl Clumsy is not a regular
friend of mine
on this show.
Have you played Red Dead Redemption? Yeah. No, she won. She got offered. It was a really weird thing. She as a journalist, she was like cash for comment. I shouldn't say that, but she got told, "Oh, can you review the new Windows phone, whatever it was back then, Nexus something?" And she went, "Sure, I know nothing about it." And they went, "No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. We want real people." And so she, because someone else, that's like 20 people around Australia, got given like more walks of life, and she was one of them. And someone in the group bitched that it wasn't enough, so they went, "We'll throw in this Xbox. There you go. And games. Have some games."
I thought all those emails that I got about Bill Gates giving stuff away for free were spam.
It was legitimate marketing. I remember
Turns
that.
Out,
no. They gave it all to
Girl Clumsy. Someone asked me, did I want to try out the Windows phone? And I was probably on... I don't think I even had an iPhone 3GS at that point. I was probably on the old Plastic 3. But I scoffed. I scoffed massively at the idea of going to Windows Phone because at that point they hadn't even come out with Metro. This is years before Metro. So, but the last window, I had a Windows Phone. Like I had a Windows Phone at one point. It was
She used
it. Was Jazz Jam. You know who put me onto the Jazz Jam? Oren. You know what? I can say about Oren and the Jazz Jam.
He knows. He knows.
He was wrong. he was wrong. He was dead wrong. It's the worst fucking phone I've had in my life. Actually, that's untrue. I might have had a worse one. It might have been some piece
Take
of Ericsson crap that I actually just threw away because, there was no... didn't even want it sort of polluting my pockets, but I remember the Jazz Jam as being spectacularly bad.
All I can say about that Windows phone that Girl Clumsy got, she got it for free. She got to keep it at the end. So you're talking about a $600 phone, kept at the end. She used it for a while. And as soon as the iPhone 4 came out, she upgraded straight, used her own money and put it in a... there you go. That's the ad right there.
I know we haven't actually got to our topic yet, but do you see that... Do you see that thing Microsoft were doing the other day where they were telling people they could bring their shitty old iPad 1s in and they'd give them $200 towards one of the new Surface tablets?
Mm. Oh, that's all right.
There's a huge
trading the same thing in America,
in the US. And there's one here, actually. There's some... look, I forget the name of the company here. It's Mizumo or Matsuomo.com or something like that. But it's an Australian company. And they do pretty good trade-ins. Because we've got five iPads hanging around the house here. And, the new ones are going to come out in the next month or so. I thought I should really just trade in some of these shitty old iPads and get a sparkly new one. And I actually just put in the models into the... the website. This is an Australian trade-in site, and they were offering $105 for an iPad 1.
Yeah, that's pretty good then.
It's fucking awesome, mate. I wouldn't give you... an Apple bitch that's I am. I wouldn't give you $50 for an iPad 1, but these guys are offering like just over 100, so anyway... As soon as I can remember their actual name, we'll call them the sponsors.
Are they sponsors tonight? Is that what we're going to call them? We'll call them the sponsors? Sure.
They can ring up. They can offer some money, and I'll stick their fucking name in post-production. There you go. That's a good deal. Just don't say I don't treat our sponsors right.
Nice.
But in the US, it's a huge market, that tablet or iPad trading market.
So I had a bit of a play of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yes, yes. So how did you go, you know, given that, you know, you had to stop playing and, you know, wipe it off and put it back in?
It was very pretty. Like, it was such a full and lavish environment in which to wander around.
That's the Red Dead influence, actually. Well, I suppose the architecture, like the grid of the city that they've built... is the Matrix, I guess you could call it, obviously goes back to all the previous iterations of the game, but that sort of that colour saturated, like, you know, just beautifully layered environment is that's Red Dead.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating to go, oh, look, there's pictures of mountains in the background, and you can drive to the pictures of mountains and they're mountains.
Right.
It felt a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, but did you enjoy shooting people in the face and stealing their stuff?
I didn't feel like I was doing a lot of that. I sort of learned how to drive the car. And then
you're not doing it right then.
I know. Well, it was such a big environment. I wanted to go exploring in it. And so I tended to sort of drive off-road and wander into hills and go, oh, my God, deer, and be really impressed with, like, suddenly a wind farm would turn up or there's deer everywhere.
Did you shoot the deer in the face?
No, it's a deer.
And take their stuff.
What is wrong with you? Poor little thing. And I went out and I went down to the beach and I found a jet ski and I drove a jet ski out to a boat and then I threw those people off the boat and I just drove around the entire thing just to get a sense of how big an environment it was.
Okay. So you threw the people off the boat. Now we're getting somewhere. So when you threw them off the boat, did you shoot them in the face?
No, they're already in the... I had the boat. So I'd drive around and I'd stop at little islands and I'd get off and I'd explore the island and there's nothing on the island. And then the boat had drifted away, so I had to jump in the water and swim to the boat. And so I drove all around the island and didn't really... I went, oh, this is all very pretty, but I haven't found anything.
Did you do any, like, without giving away spoilers, did you do any missions?
I eventually did get to the missions and I found them really dull. Like, it was like they're going, oh, no, look, teenage boys.
Back up. The video game told you to go to this place and shoot this dude in the face and take his money, and you found that dull.
No, the video game told me, hey...
Dan is a hard bastard. I mean,
the
really,
video game told me, "Hey, his life get on your is boat, full of motorbike, and drive next to that limousine." And the video game person in there, photographer, would take pictures of the woman having sex in the limo. And then there was another, and I followed up on that mission with one where basically the goal was move the camera so that the person in the car is always in the camera. Don't shoot anything. Just look at something. Look at something that's driving near you. And I'm like, what is this fucking game? Like, it's designed, it's a beautiful, lavish environment in which you could have all sorts of wonderful things, and then they go, oh, look, teenage boys, do you want to see computer characters getting fucked in the ass, and then people swearing and crazy storylines? No, I want to play something that's fun, and you're making me just point things. It was... I didn't...
So, did anybody get fucked in the ass?
Yeah. There's a bit of anal sex.
What are you complaining about then?
I have no interest in watching a 600-pixel representation created by some spotty beardo fucking another CG character created by the same spotty beardo. No, I don't play Sims.
And I bet you've downloaded that
patch. Hang on. You play Sims. You play Sims, Dan. You can't back that up.
You do. Like, you know, appear.
I am not really into The Sims either. But I must say, finally, after 2 weeks of playing this game and basically driving around the island a lot in a boat, I finally got to a mission where I was like, oh, okay, so this is the more exciting bit. I got together a crew and had to knock off a jewelry store. And it said, you can just run in and shoot everyone, or you can, like, come up with this intricate plan. No, there's this intricate plan where you've got to go find a pest control van.
You can take pictures of them having sex in the
bathroom. That's right, yeah. It's a stealth. When I handed that disc over to you, that was the mission I was in the middle of playing. And there's heaps of faces to, like, shoot into in that mission. Like, I'm only a little bit into it, and I've shot heaps of faces.
Oh, I didn't shoot a single face.
I was so proud
of myself. Mm. We went in there, everyone was already knocked out, got a whole bunch of jewelry, and then sped off, and then went through the tunnels and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, this is really
cool." But when you were putting the heist together, when you were getting your crew together and getting, like, you know, the bug catcher delivery van, you surely must have shot a few dudes in the face.
No, when I went to get the van, the guy's like, come up, he's like, get out of here. So I snuck around the back, came up behind him, gave him a judo chop, knocked him out, and then took off with his van, all nice and sneaky.
A judo chop? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Hold on.
He couldn't just give him a little shooting.
Not into the face.
He was already knocked out. He was incapacitated. So
even better.
It's like, I've done the stealth bit of the mission. Now to go back over his head.
They can't fight back then. They can't identify you. I've read lots of reviews about this game and people's ideas. And this one, the best review I've read so far was a guy who went, he wanted to live as if he died, it was over. So it was like, play the game properly. But if you get killed, stop the game, like one life. And so he wrote his experiences about how he every day he'd just go take, you know, knock over convenience stores and then run like hell. And in the end, like, someone shot at him and he turned around and killed this guy. And he's like, oh God. And then later on when he went back to that store to rob it again, they went, it's him! And they, like, opened fire on him as soon as they came through the door. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And then he got gunned down trying to take out a...
I think it's a bit cleverer than a bank truck. Like, I was driving along, and sometimes people scream out and go, oh, that guy's got my wallet. And so you pull over, or you chase after the guy and run him over and then take the wallet back, and she gives you a reward.
Yeah, or shoot him in the face. But, yeah, running over is good too.
And I'm like, oh, I quite like that. I feel like a bit of a white knight doing that. And so I'm driving along, and there's this screaming, and I jump out, and this girl's like, oh, my boyfriend's gone crazy.
Yep.
He's going to kill her.
Yep.
And so I run down the back of the yard, and she runs, and I'm chasing her, and then three guys come out and go, hey, why don't you give us your wallet? And I was like, uh-oh. And then I ran around in a circle for a moment going, what do I do? And they're like, he won't stop running in a circle. And then they just shot me in the head, and I ended up in a hospital. And I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. You know what your mistake was?
Not shooting them in the face?
Okay. Totally, yeah.
Okay.
Like that girl, like, she pulled me over to the side of the road.
See, he's learning.
Exactly the same bullshit story. Like, you know, boyfriend's been smacking around, something like that. And my immediate thought was, this is a boyfriend who needs shooting in the face. And so I just, you know, went up there and I shot them all. In the face. Well, actually, some were in the torso, but when they fell over, I shot him in the face then.
You, sir, are
mission
a hero.
I played Saints Row 2, and it's just so cartoonish and so ridiculous that I didn't mind running through and just shooting everyone in the face and such. But Grand Theft Auto 5 presents itself on a slightly more realistic level, and I can't help but want to avoid... Like, I'm the sort of person who jumped into the sports car in the training level and pulled it into the street and went, all right, now which button's the indicator?
So do you find yourself worrying about denting the cars as you're driving around?
Oh, no, I don't want to hit it.
Pixel sitting.
If Dan spent 40 minutes writing a note of apology, my number
is... I do try to avoid hitting stuff with the car.
Bleep.
Because that gives you extra points.
I'm good.
Like, you get your driving skill up if you don't hit stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, you do. But this is like, there's plenty of other cars in that town. Mm.
But then finally, I did finally end up starting playing the psycho character. And as soon as I started playing the psycho character, I was like, oh, well, then I can do whatever the hell at this point. This guy's crazy. Yeah. I'll just shoot everyone in the face.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because, like, funny, intriguing, because I've seen a couple of people writing up their gameplay online, and they exact, because you get the three, this is the interesting thing about this game, you've got the three characters that you play, and each of the narrative arcs sort of winds through the other one, and they're three quite different characters. And you've got, like, Franklin, who's the young black kid, who's a very traditional GTA protagonist, and then you've got Michael, who is the character written for guys like me, who's sort of the aging legend in his own lunchbox, who's, you know, sort of doing a tough in his 40s and so on. And then you've got Trevor, who's just, as you say, he's Trevor's almost a sort of, you know, tip of the tam o' shanter to Saints Row, because he's just so fucking nutso and out there. And what people who, you know, are quite serious about playing the game properly say is that where they tend to play each character differently. So when I'm playing Michael, I occasionally, if I really, really need a car, I'll pull someone out of it, shoot him in the face and take the car. But, you know, he's got his own car and he's got a lot of money, like, compared to the other two. So I just generally call a cab. And the cab turns up 30 seconds later on and just takes me where.
Call a cab?
Yeah. I open up your phone. And it's in.
Oh, go on, sorry.
You just open up your phone. It's like in your contacts. It's a cab company.
Okay.
And they'll come and get you. It's like 30 seconds. It's so much quicker than driving yourself all across town, because you can say, step on it, driver. And, you know, in fear of his life, because you're a dude who shoots people in the face, he will get you home so much quicker than you yourself could drive, even if you were just mowing down pedestrians. Oh, all right. Like, you know.
Except Dan, though, if it learns, it would know that Dan never touched anyone in the face, and therefore it would just laugh.
Excuse me,
and
sir.
Just, you know, go for get a coffee.
Left, like, the meter running. Shut up, you retired gangster.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys see the controversy that attended this game? There's always controversy with the GTA. Like, you know, you got your hot coffee mod, and, you know, you're shooting prostitutes in the face and taking your money back off them in GTA 4. Yes. The big standout controversy in this one. No. Almost. You are almost there, because they're all terribly misogynistic games. And I guess you are almost there because there was this feminist backlash, not because you can, like, have sex with a prostitute, shoot her in the face and get your money back, but because you can't do that as a female protagonist. It's an all-male game. Like, the playable characters are all men. And there are these really quite annoyed and quite seriously written, thinky fucking pieces online about how Rockstar have let down female gamers, because they should have had a female pro tag who could have played this game through.
So they're saying
with
that
the
women
others
can be just as mentally unbalanced as men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet, though, that if it happened, that character would not be a female Trevor. It would be more like Michael.
In those games, like, say, Mass Effect, where you can craft your character any way you want, I often play as a female character, because I like kick-ass female action heroes. It's just a thing I got. But in this game, as Dan was saying before, it's kind of realistic, and it's not realistic to have a female protagonist acting like this. I remember writing an essay about female action heroes a while ago, and I think it was Catty on the blog said, you know, a lot of female action heroes are just men dressed up in drag. And that would be the problem you would have if you had a female GTA protagonist. True. She wouldn't be female. She might look it, and she might have the big Lara Croft boobs, but in the end, she'd just be this sort of male wish fulfillment rather than an actual female character. Because the one thing you can say about those three characters in gaming terms, they're all, like, you know, they're three-dimensional. They're very well developed. You'll probably find that Rockstar does a female character sometime in the future, but I don't know.
Yeah, like
it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Like, would they go down the Mass Effect path and let you craft your character? I don't think so, because, you know, they're pretty full on about their narrative arcs. Like, although, you know, they're sort of known as the creators of these massive open world games, they're really, you know, quite full on about controlling the story and controlling the narrative. So I don't I want to sit down and write an essay about it. I'm probably going to give it 2,000 words, because I found it the most curious response to the release of this game, the sort of the feminist outrage, not about the sort of the actual violent misogyny of the game, but the lack of opportunity for women to indulge themselves in the violence and, you know, constructive misogyny of the game.
On the flip side, Saints Row 2 received praise from the transgender community because you can make your character anything in that game, and one of the sliders is your gender, so it's not like male or female, it's a slider that goes from very, very male all the way over to very, very female, so brutish down to like feminine, and but in the middle it's kind of this blended genteel man, masculine woman, fuzzy area, and the only thing is at the very midpoint they receive a small brassiere. So, and the transgender community went, that's great. That's how a lot of people are actually defining themselves gender-wise.
It didn't really make it. You can't make it to Saints Row 3 or 4, I'm afraid. You actually pick a binary male-female and work from there. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh.
You can adjust it.
But
you can't go from male to female on one slider. Oh, yeah. And butt plugs that blast you into space.
I don't want to leave Ernie out of this because he didn't play it. And he's never going to play it because they're never going to release it on PC. So I understand you've been filling in your time while I've been at the beach.
So cruel.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is that right?
Certainly have been. Can I just say before we move on to that, though, the one I'm looking forward to, the PC one, is which will be on PC, PS3 and Xbox as well, is Watch Dogs.
Holy crap, that was just the best game of the podcast.
We've been here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, you did. Sorry about that. Yeah, we'll move on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so Joss Whedon's new TV show. There's another Joss Whedon show on television. I have watched both episodes.
Are you going to suck air through your teeth before you give us the full opinion?
Yeah, I am. I really, really didn't like the first one. Episode one I thought was awful. I thought it was just... Like the hacker girl. I'm a hacker and I'm a girl and I live in a van. And you're like, you've never seen the inside of a van. You're too pretty and too... It's very bizarre. Whoa. No. But I liked... No. I liked the second one because I think I got more into it. And so the second one just got...
Because I had to write it up for... For Fairfax, I think the problem with the first one was that they had to montage the crew together. And if you go back and look at that first ep, it's really just about, you know, grabbing like half a dozen disparate characters and just montaging them into the same storyline by the end. But I mean, you're right, that the hacker girl's ridiculous. You know, she's way too pretty and glam for a hacker girl. And they could have got away with that. They could have had a pretty and glam hacker girl because they're totally out there, but they don't live in fucking vans. If they're that good, they can disguise themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, they just, on the kitchen table or something like that. But they, you know, she'd probably be breaking open people's accounts and stealing their credit card numbers and, you know, living in a very nice apartment somewhere in San Francisco. Mm. So she was a bit, I agree with you. You sort of beat down on that character. And that's sort of the sort of super agent, the young guy.
So he's the total package or he's the final solution. Did they actually call him the final solution? I hope not, because that's going to have some connotations.
There's no way they would have called him that. But they may well have called him the package. I think I'm just going to call him Agent Package. he was a bit... he was almost like a sort of... I hesitate to say cartoon character because there's been better developed cartoon characters, haven't there? But
he's all chin and firearms, isn't he? But then I guess, Angel in Buffy sort of turned up and he was like, brutish vampire, and then they built on it.
Joss Whedon works, and in fact, that's right. And I've been, I've actually just before I came on to talk to you guys, I was watching or rewatching Angel Series 3 with the kids because we let them watch Buffy, and then, you know, they got very sad at the end of Buffy and we said, guess what? There's Buffy 2, which is, you know, Angel. And that character does, you know, that series is really interesting. And I was actually looking at it thinking, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got a lot more hype and will probably go on to be a lot more successful than both Angel and Buffy. And yet I watched, no, we watched three episodes of Angel tonight, and they were all better in terms of their scripting and their character development and just their story arcs than certainly that pilot episode of Agents. And even the second episode, someone said it was a brutal fucking smackdown that I read on Twitter, and I can't recall the handle of the person who said it, but they wrote that the pilot and the first episode looked like a sort of B-side of an A-Team episode.
I must admit, it felt to me like the whole thing's being carried at the moment by Agent Coulson.
Clark Gregg, what's his name? Clark Gregg, he's very good at what he does, which is what I liked most about him. He always plays that kind of wacky guy, and the part I went, oh, thank God he changed facial expression, was when he got angry. Like, they went, we can't possibly do it, Agent. And he went, don't tell me what you can't do, just get it done. And I went, oh, that's good. Like, you know, the character
getting
was actually
done.
A bit more than one note. Yeah, yeah, a bit more, not just wacky all the time. Like, he
proved, I'm looking forward
why
to seeing
there.
How the characters develop, because it seems like they've made like the most plain characters, and then that you'll get to sort of delve into them slowly, and they'll become broader and more interesting characters.
I like Fitzsimmons. Fitzsimmons, the whole stereotype British boffins, but, you know, which one's Fitzsimmons, which one's Simmons.
That was
that's kind of cute.
You didn't.
And they're not lovers. I thought they were lovers. And then, no, they're not.
They just
work together.
Channeling the Matt Smith doctor?
Oh, very much so. Yes, yeah, that crazy British boffin thing. Yes, definitely. But as long as they don't kiss, as long as they never kiss, as long as they always just have this kind of professional intellectual relationship, if at the moment they're like, we love each other, I'm out.
Whedon's not really going to do that unless he can justify it. He tends to play around with those tropes rather than just...
Is he writing it, though? Is
no,
it just created
I think
by him?
Is he writing it? Well, he's certainly the executive producer, which gives him final creative say. He's got some family member on too, some Jed Whedon, who I'm not sure whether it's a son or a brother or.
I think Jed's a brother. He's one of the.
Jed's.
He's one of the singing cowboys in Doctor Horrible. I think.
So, normally, you see Joss, you see Jed a lot of the time somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll stick with it because when it was good, it was really, really good. But it was interesting, you know. It reached its zenith, I think, in the sort of denouement to episode two, where you had Agent Coulson and Nick Fury, and that was just if the whole 2 hours could have been that good, that would have been.
Oh my god! Nick Fury was so unhappy about all the damage to the plane, and yet he had no problem just chewing up all the furniture while he was there.
The bit where he sort of stroked the bar. It was a nice bar. That was fantastic.
It was a nice bar, yeah. Samuel L. Jackson must have had yes, I'll come and do it for free. Yeah. That's hilarious. My favorite line wasn't actually the last joke, the last thing Coulson said, which I won't say if people haven't seen it. My favorite line in that show was, why didn't you bring a gun? I will take the gun when I need it. And I was at the cavalry set. I went, that, and the way she just delivered that line, and you're just like, that's brilliant. And just, it's a hard-ass female character once again. You know, I'll just take it. I'll take a gun.
She's interesting because she is, you know, she's a Buffy style, or actually she's a Faith style ass kicker. And it will be... And she has backstory.
She's not 12.
She arrives with backstory. She doesn't want to go out and do combat. We don't know why. She won't talk about it. And he has to sort of, you know, finagle her into flying the plane. And then she ends up having to do combat anyway. And, you know, it turns out she's really fucking good at it. So seeing her develop will be really interesting. I sort of found myself hoping that Whedon's well-known ruthlessness for killing off mainline characters asserts itself about 5 or 6 episodes in, and he just puts a bullet into a couple of them.
He has to make us care first. We don't care yet. So he has to make us love them more intensely. We do their own mothers, and then he'll cut their throats.
One thing I'm looking forward to is like the first episode was like about this generic person who could punch buildings and very strong and very and then the next one was like about a weapon that could shoot lasers out the front of it. amazing weapon. And it seems like a wonderful opportunity to bring in some very interesting sci-fi ideas, but they're not, they haven't, yeah, but
like
they haven't
Twilight
taken
Zone,
advantage of
version.
That yet. And no, I know, but well, I thought they would have led with that and gone and come up with a...
No, they've... What they did the first two episodes, they went, okay, we have to get as many words from the Avengers in as possible. Hulk, hammer, you know, shield.
Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, drink. And just everything they could to go, it's the same universe. And now I hope they get away from that. Because when I realize, I mean, spoilers for the first one, spoilers. When it turned out to be extremists, I went, no. Because that's the thing I hated the most about Iron Man 3. The extremist idea was dumb. And when I realized that superhero guy was powered by extremists, I went, oh, no. But come up with your own ideas. Don't just keep saying, oh, he's pumped full of super serum filled with gamma rays plus a martini from Tony Stark's cupboard. You know, it's... Just
they could be a great X-Files for the new millennium. Like they could just, you know, yeah. do what the X-Files did and just take a crazy yeah. idea each week with a sort of overarching story that develops over the course of a season. And, you know, fuck knows, they've got enough material to draw on from the Marvel archive. They don't need to have to keep going back to episodes of the A-Team rating their ideas.
It's it does have potential. I hope it does well. It's good popcorn television. That's how I look at it. Not everything's Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. There's some things you just watch and it's fun.
Shows get better too. Revolution got a lot better as it went on when they took the focus off that that lame Charlie chick.
Fringe, Greg, you loved second season of Fringe.
Oh, Fringe. Oh, my God. Yeah, Fringe first season didn't really get me. I've watched Fringe, like, binged on... I watched the first season, and the guy who gave it to me went, hold on for season two, like, seriously? And I was like, oh, I'm glad he told me, because I wouldn't have got through it. And then season two, three, and four, I think there was, I love Fringe. When it finished, I was sad. Fringe is brilliant, but that thing, it grew. It started off as an X-Files clone, and then it became something
There's
much
a few
more
like that.
Interesting.
Parks and Rec, which is a comedy, the Amy Poehler comedy, apparently the first six or seven episodes are unwatchable, and then they just retooled the characters and the storylines, and it's like watching a different series, so you don't watch that first part. You sort of jump in at a certain episode partway through the first series or something like that. So I'll watch it all the way through. I don't think it's in a shrieking death dive at the moment, we'll see. Yet.
Twitter went crazy though. Like all the nerds on the internet, are like, this is everything. I picked it up. I watched it seven times, and this is everything I found. Some people loved it, but I mean, the Whedonites were like, it's all amazing, and life is gold. Bring back Firefly.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But then just... all the nerds were like, I care about this, so I'm going to pick it apart.
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. That's I was trying not to be too. But there's just things that got me in the first one. I said I enjoyed the second, well, the first episode, not the pilot. I didn't like the pilot, but I watched the first episode and actually went, oh, yeah, it's fine. That's, you know, it had some butt kicking.
Well, they had a story to tell. Like that first episode was a lot about, there was a lot of fan service to, like, you know, Buffyverse fans in that first, because you had J. August Richards coming in and looking like a superhero, and then, you know, things change. We won't give the spoilers away, but I thought what they did with him as a character was way more interesting than anything they did with any of the actual Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
Yeah, and I was actually sad. I was hoping that he was going to be in it, and I thought he'd be their superpowered friend, you know, like the guy on the team who's actually a superhero, like a low-level one, but still, he's the guy who gets, you know, you throw, he's the bullet, you throw him in or his bomb and he blows everything up. But
you know what?
They didn't.
I know you got to go. We should segue from this to Alphas next week, because Alphas is a show which... sort of does that. He has all these low-level superheroes in it and does it really well. You've been listening to episode 16 of Spartacast. What? Not even a little bit of shooting in the face? So thanks to Gregoire and Dan Beeston who joined us from smartenoughtoknowbetter.org, best little science of humor podcast going. Don't bother about thanking me, JB. Your unconditional love will be enough. We'll see you next time. Came to take you home. I dread lyrics like spits, spare lyrics like trips. In the arms of licking spirit with my miracle whip. Cause what I'm hearing is all shit.